Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalid, Chapter 4. First, a quick recap of yesterday's Perek. In Perek Gimel, Chapter 3, Shmuel received his very first Nivu'ah, his first prophecy, which he at first mistook as his master Eli calling him. In the difficult Nivu'ah which he received, he was told that all who will hear the news, their ears are going to ring, referring to the capture of the Aron, which unfortunately will take place in our Perek today, and also of the terrible decree which was going to befall Eli and his descendants, that Hophni and Pinchas were going to die on the same day, and that Eli's household will forever die young, none living into old age. In addition, his household will become extremely poor. This chapter concluded with the word of Hashem resting upon Shmuel, telling us that once Shmuel received his Nevuah, his prophecy, the pipeline for Nevuah then opens back on a grander scale. And today, we will tragically witness this devastating prophecy, which Shmuel himself attempted to withhold from his master Eli. We'll watch it unfold. Our Perek Chapter 4, Perek Dalid, opens up with the following words, Vayhi Dvar Shmuel L'chol Yisrael. And then there's a pause in the Pasuk. Vayetze Yisrael likra plishtim lamilchama. Vayhi dvar Shmuel. The Mefarshim debate here whether Shmuel commanded the Bnei Yisrael to go out and fight this offensive battle, perhaps knowing that even though it would turn out catastrophic, that this was the will of Hashem, or if it means that Shmuel never commanded them, nor did they even ask him, or anyone for that matter, but rather that the words of Shmuel's prophecy are about to unfold in front of our eyes, as Bnei Yisrael go out to wage this war against the Plishtim. Pasuk Bet, and the Plishtim arrayed themselves opposite the Bnei Yisrael, and the battle spread. Bnei Yisrael immediately suffer a devastating loss, and tragically 4,000 Jewish soldiers are killed. As a nation who is still reeling from the loss of every single one of our precious Chayalim, and davening mightily for those of our brothers who are again currently out in the front lines protecting Am Yisrael, as our nation is at war once again against Iran and its proxies, we can connect viscerally to this tragic loss that Bnei Yisrael faced in this battle. Unfortunately, though, the loss will only compound as our Perek continues to unfold. Pasuk Gimel, and the people came to the camp, and the elders of Israel asked, why did Hashem smite us today before the Plishtim? Let us take with us from Shiloh the Aron Brit Hashem, the holy ark, that he may come out in our midst and save us from the hands of our enemies. Instead of turning inward in tshuva, instead of turning to Hashem with tefillah, the zkenim, the elders, search for a strategy, a magic weapon to take with them to help them move forward and be successful. They decided to bring the Aron from Shiloh into the battle, thinking that if they bring the secret weapon, Hashem will automatically be with them and they'll succeed. They reasoned that Bnei Yisrael had taken the Aron along with them in the past, in their fight against Jericho, when they circled the city 7 times, and they were successful. What could go wrong here? However, we'll soon see that Bnei Yisrael were wrong in bringing the Aron this time. In Yehoshua, they were specifically told and commanded by Yehoshua to bring the Aron with them. Here, it was a decision made out of sense of superstitious desperation. The Psukim continue, Pasuk Dalid. They go to Shiloh, and they retrieve the Aron. Visham Shnei Bnei Eli Im Aron Brit Elokim, Hophni uPinchas. Hophni and Pinchas were there with the Aron of Hashem. The Malbim emphasizes that Hashem's attribute of strict justice was directed against them, and they were together with the Aron, from which the divine word had come declaring that both of them would die on that very same day. Pasuk Hei, and it was when the Aron entered the camp that Bnei Yisrael let out a Tru'ah Gedolah, a massive battle cry, a cry so loud it caused the entire ground to shake beneath them. Bnei Yisrael truly felt invincible with their magic weapons in their hands. But again, Chazal are very disapproving of their shouting. It was a wrongful confidence that they showed. Instead of screaming victory cries, they should have been crying out with humility in tefillah and in tshuva. The Malbim even notes that Bnei Yisrael had taken the Aron into this war to mirror after the victory of Bnei Yisrael in Jericho. But he quotes the Abarbanel that they failed to remember that in the times of the battle of Jericho, the Bnei Yisrael were actually commanded not to raise their voices at all, not to scream until the minute that the wall began crashing down, the minute of victory. Until that very moment, they didn't scream. Rather, they lifted their eyes up to Hashem to beg for his salvation. Pasuk Vav. The Plishtim hear this frightening screams. They hear the frightening noise coming from Bnei Israel, and they're terrified. And Pasuk Zion continues, and they cry out, Oy lanu, ki lo hayta kazot etzmo shelshom. Woe to us, their God has come to the camp. Nothing like this has ever happened before. What are we going to do? Pasuk Chet, who will protect us from the strong hands of their God, who smote the Mitzrayim? They still remember the miracles that happened in the times of Mitzrayim. Hashem, their God, is all capable. But their officers rally them in Pasuk Tet, don't be afraid. Strengthen yourselves and fight like men against the enemy. And so the second battle ensues, and the second battle is catastrophic. The Pesukim continue to tell us that tragically, 30,000 Jewish soldiers fell in this phase of the battle. And then, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the unthinkable happened. The Aron of Hashem was captured. And as the final straw, unfortunately, Eli's two sons, Chafni and Pinchas, were killed, which fulfilled the nevuah that Shmuel himself had received. The Midrash teaches us that Chafni and Pinchas' deaths in this public manner actually atoned for their sins, and they were each granted a portion in Olam Haba. The Abarbanel delineates five reasons that Hashem would allow for such a catastrophic event to happen. How could Hashem allow his Aron to be captured by the enemies? How could this ever happen? And the Abarbanel gives us five reasons that perhaps this is why Hashem let it to happen. The first is that Bnei Israel sinned very much before Hashem, so they were punished that the crown of their head, the Aron, would fall. One specific sin that's noted here is that they somehow tolerated the existence of the Pesel Micha, which you learned about in Sefer Shoftim. They tolerated it until today. The second that the Abarbanel lists is that Chafni and Pinchas corrupted the Mishkan, so the whole Mishkan could not run properly anymore. And so Hashem let the Aron be taken. The third, that Bnei Israel wrongly took the Aron to this war without asking Hashem. The fourth, Bnei Israel were overconfident. They should have davened more and did teshuvah instead of assuming that this was their magic weapon. And number five, which we're going to learn in the upcoming prakim, Hashem is going to demonstrate the tremendous koach of the Aron, and he's going to bring a huge kiddush Hashem through this entire episode. So even in the darkness of the chilul Hashem of his Aron being taken, he's already starting to plant the seeds of a huge kiddush Hashem that's going to come about by virtue of it being in their possession. Pasuk Yud Bet now continues. And Ish Binyamin runs from the battlefield all the way to Shiloh, his clothing torn, earth upon his head, both clear signs of avelos, of mourning. Rashi identifies this Ish Binyamin as Shaul HaMelech, and even brings forward a medrash that Shaul miraculously managed somehow to bravely approach the scary Goliath, who himself had grabbed the Aron and captured it. And we're going to encounter Goliath later again in our Sefer. He jumped up and audaciously grabbed the luchos from Goliath's very own hands, which had been captured inside of the Aron and he had taken out holding. Shaul grabbed them and ran all the way back to the camp of Bnei Israel. Other Mefarshim, including the Radak, strongly reject this, questioning how one man could physically run that distance, carrying such heavy luchos with him. And even more so, later we're going to see how the Aron exacts vengeance upon everyone who mishandles it. So how is it possible that Shaul could just casually carry the Aron in his arms with no incidents occurring along the way? Pasuk Yud Gimel, this man, Shaul, arrives and he sees Eli sitting by the road, waiting anxiously to find out what happened in the battle. Pasuk Ted Vav notes that Eli was 98 years old at this time and that his eyes were blind, something we had seen last parak. The Mabim explains the significance of re-mentioning it here, that his eyes could not see. The Mabim says that because he could not see, because Eli couldn't see Shaul coming with his torn clothing and ashes on his head, he couldn't mentally prepare himself for the news that was about to come. If he was able to see the messenger, he would see that he was clearly already showing signs of avelos, of mourning. But because he didn't have that second of time to begin to process it all, because he couldn't see, the shock came entirely through him hearing what had happened. He was quite literally blindsided by the news that he heard. Pasuk Yud Zayin tells us that the messenger breaks the news to Eli as slowly and gradually as is humanly possible for him to do so. He tells Eli that unfortunately, the Bnei Israel fled the battlefield. They had lost in a terrible, terrible way. Unfortunately, many soldiers died. He told him that his two sons, Hophni and Pinchas died while on duty. He was careful to say how brave they were, that they died while carrying the Aron of Hashem. He emphasized this over and over to Eli, their bravery, and that they didn't run away or abandon the Aron. Rather, they defended it with their dying breaths. And finally, the last of the news that he tells over is that the Aron of Hashem was captured. It was taken. Pasuk Yirchat, and it was when Eli hears about the news of the Aron and how it was taken captive that Eli falls backwards from his chair, he breaks his neck, and he dies. The Chilul Hashem of the Aron being captured was too much for his essence to bear. It was that news more than all of the rest that shook him to his core and led him to his death. At that point, Eli had faithfully judged and served the Bnei Israel for 40 years. Our parak ends with one more tragic vignette. Pasuk Yotet tells us about Eli's daughter-in-law, Pinchas' wife, who was expecting and due to give birth. As soon as she heard the terrible news that the Aron of Hashem was captured and that both her husband and her father-in-law had died, she went into premature labor. She crouched down to give birth. And Pasuk 20 tells us, as she unfortunately lay dying, the women who were attending to her, they try to comfort her and they tell her, "Don't be afraid, don't worry, for you have borne a son." But there is no comfort. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, in her last breaths of life, she names her son Ikavod, the glory has been exiled from Israel, referring to the capture of the Aron of Hashem and to the death of her father-in-law and her husband. And our final pasuk for this perek, this tragic perek, Pasuk Chaf Bet, tells us that she repeats, "The glory is gone from Israel," she said, "for the Ark of Hashem has been captured." The Metzudas David points out here that despite her own personal tragedy, her focus, like Eli's, was on the capture of the Aron, on the colossal Chilul Hashem that had taken place here. Chazal added that her fear and her anguish over the Chilul Hashem is what contributed to her death in this moment. Although she and her family suffered tremendously and faced a tragic end in this perek, we are reminded by Chazal that they were considered righteous, and through their tragic deaths, they received atonement for their sins and secure places in Olam Haba. This perek is perhaps one of the lowest points in our Sefer. The Mishkan is destroyed, the leadership vacuum deepens, the Aron is in captivity. But this collapse also lays the groundwork for what is going to come next, the rise of Shmuel's leadership and the dramatic demonstration of the Aron's power among the Plishtim, which Amir Tashem will create a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. I look forward to continuing to unpack the story together tomorrow, Amir Tashem. Wish everyone a beautiful rest of your day. Today's perek is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.